What then will this child be? What then will this child be? We celebrate the feast, the nativity of John the Baptist, the birth of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is one of the most incredible figures in the Bible. He kind of stands with 2 feet, one foot in the Old Testament, 1 foot in the New. He is the bridge and the one who has the privilege of pointing out the Messiah. It's amazing. He kind of bursts on the scene of Israel. Kind of, you can imagine him, he comes out of the desert, literally out of the wilderness, wearing camel's hair, eating locusts and honey. Very odd, even for that time. And if you've ever seen the miniseries Jesus of Nazareth, it's a wonderful image in that miniseries of John shouting from the tops of the hills, "Repent! The Messiah, the Savior is coming!" And we all need to make a path of repentance in our hearts to receive him. He welcomes everyone, but we all must be prepared for him. An incredible figure. And he is the one who is able to tell his apostles, his disciples, those following after him, "You do not follow me." But rather, he points to Jesus after his baptism and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world. Follow him." John the Baptist has a privileged place in world history for being the first one to point to the Savior. But even in amidst all of his great sayings, we get a great glimpse into John's heart, I think, a great moment of intimacy with him when he says these lines. He tells the crowds, "I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, my joy is now full. He must increase, and I must decrease." John's heart is full of joy because he is the one to point to the Messiah and say, "It is not about me, it is about him." Because he is the one who takes away the sins of the world. Now, it's so easy to put John out there on a pedestal and say, "It's amazing what he did. It's amazing the proclamation of the word, proclamation of great joy, of repentance that he is able to give to the world." My friends, if we look at Scripture and we look at our own calling in our baptism, we realize we are called to be John the Baptist for the world. We are not to be passive participants in the faith. We don't merely show up to Mass. We don't merely believe. Rather, we are sent out like John to point to Jesus and say, "Follow him." But that's so hard. You could say, "Father Michael, I don't have the gifts of John. I don't have that charismatic personality, that the great gifts of being able to proclaim the gospel. I don't even have the courage to say, 'Yes, Lord, I don't even know what my gifts are,' and have the courage to use them." I'd say, don't be afraid. The Lord takes each of us exactly where we are, and he has given each of us gifts, talents, and abilities that should be poured out for his kingdom, for his church. The first reading for this weekend has been reading I've prayed on all week, and I think it's absolutely incredible. And if you want some good scripture reading this week, go to the 49th chapter of Isaiah. And it is an incredible reading. And these words are spoken to all of us. The Lord says to us, "The Lord has called me from birth and given me my name. He has made me a sharp-edged sword to proclaim the gospel to the nations. And he has made me a sharpened quiver, a sharpened arrow in the quiver of the Lord." But not only that. The Lord says, "It is too little that you be called my servant." Not enough that you merely be called my servant. "I want you to be a light to the nations, to go out to all the world and proclaim the love, mercy, and peace of Jesus." Absolutely love this reading. It is, my friends, it is not enough that we are merely servants of God We are called to be his friends, his beloved children, those sent out into the world to say, I am loved by God, and so are you. Come with me to the one who can heal you and loves you. Now, but in the midst of this, we must ask again, how do we do this? Great, we have this great image out there of what we're supposed to be in life. We're supposed to be the Lord's calling, but I'm here. How do I get out there? How do my gifts get used by the Lord? A couple years ago, I was talking with a youth minister friend of mine, and I asked her, how do you get your kids, especially the older ones, to invest more in the community, invest in church? She said, I tell them a spiritual principle that I think is absolutely true. I'd like to share that principle with all of you. She tells her youth that the next step we need to take in our spiritual life, if we want to progress, to mature, to take the next step, that step will only happen if we step up in service, if we step out of ourselves to serve our brothers and sisters. My friends, I think this is absolutely true, that in our lives of faith, to step up and serve is one of the ways that we stir up the graces within us, stir up the grace of baptism, stir up the grace of Holy Communion every time we come to Mass. Father Jim and I were, and a couple of our staff were up in Halifax, Nova Scotia about 2 weeks ago, and we had an amazing experience. It was an amazing conference, absolutely incredible. And at the end of the conference, which was held at this church, St. Benedict's Parish, you know, Father Jim talks about divine renovation, going from maintenance to mission. All of those ideas come from this parish, and they're the ones who have inspired us. So we went up there for this conference, and they were serving 650 people, 650 visitors from all over the world. At the end of the conference, the pastor called up the volunteers who were helping out with this conference. And they came streaming in from the back. And they kept coming and coming and coming. And out of a parish of 1,500 people, there were 300 volunteers there. 20% of their parish was helping that night. And they said, this isn't even everyone. This isn't even everyone. And the pastor was beaming. It was amazing to see the joy in his face. He said, this is what happens when people gather around mission. Gather around mission. And what is our mission? Our mission is to bring people, to lead people like John the Baptist to Jesus and say, do you know his love for you? Do you know how much he cares for you? That if you surrender your life to him and become his disciple, he will take care of you always. That is our mission. That is our mission. We have an image of our own in this parish. We have many images, but one that happened recently was our vacation Bible school last week. We had just about 160 kids from 90 families come to our vacation Bible school. And I asked the coordinator, how many volunteers did you get for the effort? She said, 67 volunteers. Fantastic. Amazing. Again, is what happens when we gather around mission, that our young people, our young boys and girls, would know the stories of the Bible, know the stories of the saints, and maybe learn for the first time that Jesus Christ loves them. Amazing, amazing. My friends, we are getting ready in this parish to embrace our mission in a kind of new and radical way. And in this upcoming year, we will have a kind of a new direction in our faith formation, as you've many of you heard, that we want to move to a faith formation model that goes from formation to Mass, that our young people would have a classroom experience, a small group experience, reflecting on the readings from Mass, and then go to Mass with their families to realize that the formation they have together sees its fulfillment by receiving Jesus in the Eucharist. And there's many other efforts we're doing this year. So the parish team, Father Jim, myself, and many others, we realize that we need a lot more help to make this vision come true, this mission come to reality. We came up with the number of all the volunteers that we need, 511 volunteers. 511. You see on your bulletin the question, Will you be one of the 5 11? Will you be one of the 5 11? There are many ministries that we need help with. Ministries such as faith formation, of guiding our young people to the Lord. We need help in liturgical ministry, helping out with the Mass, bringing communion to the sick. We also need help with hospitality, greeting people, allowing people to realize that every time they walk through the doors of our church, in any capacity, in any ministry, that the greeting they receive is the greeting of Jesus and His church. My friends, we need a lot of help this upcoming year. And we're asking all of you to come help us with this. You may ask, Father Michael, why should I do this? I point to two things. The first is that spiritual principle that if we want to take the next step in our spiritual life, we need to step up and serve. That we realize that we receive so much in giving to others. And the second thing, I think, we can look back at John. And John gives us an insight about why he serves. Once again, John is the friend of the bridegroom, the friend of Jesus. And he says, when he hears the bridegroom's voice, he rejoices. And that because he lays down his life for Jesus, his joy is now full. My friends, what a privilege it is to serve the Lord. What a privilege it is, and what a great joy it is to point to Jesus and say, follow him. For all of us, will step up and become one of the 5 11. The great result is joy, the joy of serving Christ. So today, this Sunday, we'd like to make two promises. The first, from Father Jim and myself and the rest of the staff. Next weekend, we'd like to come back in our homily, in the bulletin, on the website, to tell you exactly what we need from everyone. What are the exact needs of our parish? In faith formation, in hospitality, in liturgical ministry, in whatever we need. We want to give everyone, to see where your gifts are and say, we need help in these areas. But we would also like to ask you to promise something, that each of you would pray and ask God, where are you asking me to serve, O Lord? To look deep into our hearts and say, Lord, I know I have these gifts. I am a sharp-edged sword, one who is not merely a servant, but a beloved son and daughter, given many gifts to offer up to the Lord. In what ways am I asked to step up and serve you? Where am I asked to serve? So I'd like you to take this home this week and pray on it. Where is the Lord asking you to step up, to become one of the 5 11? Now, I could just leave it there and ask you to pray. But why don't we pray together? We'll start right now. So what I'd like you to do is, if you feel comfortable, place your hands open on your knees as a sign of surrender and openness to the Holy Spirit, and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit upon each of us. Enter our hearts, our minds. Lord, thank you for the great gifts of this parish community, this family of St. John's. Thank you for everyone here, and that you have sent each of us on mission. Lord, if there's anything that blocks us from stepping up and serving you, remove those fears, remove those hesitations, that we would know your will for us. Give us the courage of John the Baptist. Give us his passion for you. And give us the joy that comes from you alone. Thank you, O Lord, for your love for us. Thank you for your love for everyone here in this community, in Severna Park, for each member of our family and friends. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.